Rise and shine. This is your morning buzzcast for Thursday, March 28th. I'm Austin Karp, and it is MLB opening day. I had my fantasy baseball draft last night with some Sports Business Journal alums, hoping Trey Turner holds up as my first round pick. But it's a rainy day here on the East Coast. Brewers Mets in New York and Braves Phillies in the city of brotherly love have already been called off and pushed to Friday. Angels Orioles is expected to get things started at 3:05 p.m., but also some rain in the forecast there in Baltimore, hoping the weather holds up. That game in Baltimore is sold out, and there's expected to be a moment of silence at Camden Yards to remember those lost in the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. First responders are also going to be honored. This is going to be the first game with David Rubenstein as controlling owner of the Birds. Rubenstein and his group, which includes the likes of NWSL Washington Spirit owner Michelle Kang, three investors from Ares Management, Cal Ripken Jr., my childhood sports hero, and longtime NBAer Grant Hill. That group was approved unanimously by MLB owners on Wednesday. While a lease looks to be in place for the O's there, there is a lot of work to be done, particularly in developing around Camden Yards. There's the long-term RSN situation to figure out, a ton of young stars that potentially locked up with contracts. That's a roster that John Smoltz on our sports media podcast this week compared to the Braves of the early 90s. That's something that was music to my ears. And the team is still in talks to land a jersey patch. Speaking of jersey patches, the Rangers are now the 19th MLB club to sign such a deal, broadening a pact that they had with Dallas-based energy infrastructure company Energy Transfer, which had been a club sponsor since 2018. CSM Sport and Entertainment was brought aboard last year to sell that inventory for the Rangers. CSM has subsequently become part of Wasserman. I guess it should come as no surprise that both MLB clubs in Texas have energy brands as jersey patch sponsors. The Astros last year signed Oxy Energy for its patch. And Energy Transfer is also going to get some nice exposure with the Rangers this season, as they're going to host the MLB All-Star Game at Globe Life Field this summer. Those patch deals for MLB teams come with three-year commitments. But the biggest story in baseball remains the betting scandal around Dodger star Shohei Ohtani. Still so many unanswered questions there. MLB is doing its investigation. But the Dodgers get started at home today. They'll be the first team on Sunday Night Baseball as well this weekend. The ESPN team did address the scandal during the Dodgers-Padres series in Seoul last week. So we'll see how much the telecast continues to hit on that story on Sunday night. The only folks that might be pleased with the Ohtani story might be Diamond Sports Group, because there's just less chatter about the state of where RSNs are during the MLB season. But let's move off the diamond, as there is plenty of other news going on in sports business. It was around 3.5 months ago that Monumental Sports and Entertainment announced a framework agreement to expand and build a new $2 billion, 20,000-seat arena and mixed-use development in the Potomac Yard neighborhood of Alexandria, Virginia, for the Capitals and Wizards. There was a press conference with Ted Leonsis, the governor of Virginia, and others to mark the occasion. But if you've followed sports venue projects before, you know never to assume that anything is done until shovels are in the ground. And even in the case of the NFL's Panthers and their South Carolina practice facility, sometimes a half-built venue doesn't even mean a deal is done. Fast forward to Wednesday night, and you had the city of Alexandria ending negotiations to build the arena, quickly followed by the District of Columbia saying it had struck a tentative deal with Leonsis to keep his NHL and NBA teams in the nation's capital through 2050, pending approval by the DC Council next Tuesday. The city would pony up $515 million over 3 years to renovate Capital One Arena and allow Monumental to grow its downtown footprint, including a new practice facility. But the issue here is still space. The Leonsis family wanted to utilize 12 acres at the planned spot in Virginia to create a mixed-use development, which many teams are creating to keep up with the Joneses all throughout sports. But instead of 12 acres, Leonsis is going to have to operate with 200,000 more square feet in downtown D.C. to work with, something he says works, but obviously less than what he had been seeking in Virginia. I'm sure Commanders owner Josh Harris was paying attention to all this as he looks at future venue options for his NFL club. Maryland, Virginia, and the RFK Stadium site in D.C. all seem to be options that are on the table. But obviously a lot of politics in play in and around the Beltway in getting any sort of venue deal done, as Monumental Sports found out here. The men's Sweet 16 also tips off tonight. Some big matchups with blue bloods like North Carolina, UConn, and Arizona. The men's tourney is up just a tick in TV viewership across CBS, TNT, True TV, and CBS after the second round. There was a record-setting pace before Sunday's games of the second round, Many of them feature blowouts, and that dropped the numbers a bit. They were down around 8% just on Sunday alone. But you have to be happy with the 16 teams remaining if you're TNT Sports' Louis Silberwasser or CBS Sports' David Burson. A lot of big names up there. Should be an interesting Final Four. We'll see what the championship game numbers bring there. On the women's side, you're looking at record viewership through two rounds. That's up 108% versus the same point during last season's women's tourney. No surprise at this point that Caitlin Clark is a big factor in all that. The Iowa-West Virginia second round game on ESPN on Monday night was the best women's NCAA tournament game outside of the Final Four, and a number that could have beaten every women's championship game from 2005 through 2022. If Clark keeps winning, a potential rematch with LSU is in the cards before the Final Four, and that would be another huge number for ESPN. But it's not all about Caitlin. Flora Kelly, who is ESPN's VP of Research, noted that non-Iowa games are up 74% from 2023. A rising tide for sure on the women's side. And I'll admit, I wasn't originally watching that Iowa-West Virginia game the whole time Monday night, but I was checking my phone as I was watching something else. And when I saw the score was close, I had to turn in. It was a really great finish. Clark has just become appointment television for me. It had such a big game feel. She's going to be back on ABC on Saturday as Iowa takes on Colorado in the Sweet 16. Some other quick notes to wrap things up this morning. Sources told the Financial Times that Liberty Media, which owns F1, is in exclusive talks to acquire Dorna Sports, which owns the MotoGP motorcycle series, for more than $4.3 billion. TKO Group, which owns UFC and WWE, also was in the running, as was Qatar Sports Investments, which owns French soccer club Paris Saint-Germain. My colleague and office neighbor, Adam Stern, and I chatted briefly about this Wednesday. Liberty obviously now has three F1 races in the U.S., but there's only one MotoGP race right now, which is at Circuit of the Americas down in Austin. I imagine Liberty would look to bring more MotoGP races stateside if they made such an acquisition. Interested to see what they could do with that series. Also in motorsports, I'm watching to see if IndyCar owner Roger Penske can fend off NASCAR's bid to buy half of the Long Beach Grand Prix. Outside of the Indy 500, that Long Beach race is the longest tenured race on the IndyCar calendar, dates back to 1984. Check out Terry Lefton's SBJ marketing newsletter from Wednesday night. Lefton goes into what has become a white-hot market for premium hospitality. Are you ready for extreme hospitality as well as a new category? Terry goes into all that in the newsletter from last night. Back in the fall, I had Nexstar president and COO Mike Beard on a panel at our SBJ Media Innovators event. Nexstar obviously controls the CW. And he was talking about what other rights CW might be interested in. And college came up as something that might be part of that. And now we have reports out west that Oregon State and Washington State could potentially sign with the CW for their 2024 home games. Pac-12 networks would potentially do the production in such a deal. And the CW already has that kind of setup with NASCAR planned for 2025 when the CW takes over rights for the Xfinity series. If anything, just another sign with this rights deal, potential rights deal, that the CW is going to be continually active and at the table in some of these sports rights deals. My colleague Joe Lemire reports this morning that MLB is launching an upgraded version of the MLB Home Run Derby VR on the MetaQuest store, complete with detailed renderings for all 30 ballparks. I love the MetaQuest headset, so I'll be checking that out when I can. Only three ballparks had been available on the beta version, so a big ramp up there for MLB. I love what the league is doing in the VR space, as they also plan to offer live access to games via the Apple Vision Pro headset. Finally, special shout out to Molly Kaelane, who's going to be joining SBJ as our new sports media writer. She'll be starting in April. Molly was previously with Adweek, a Northwestern alum. I'm very much looking forward to working with Molly. If you're going to be at the Women's Final Four in Cleveland, please give Molly a shout as she'll be on site. So that is your Morning Buzzcast for Thursday, March 28th. If you're a fantasy baseball enthusiast like me, a friendly PSA to set your lineup. I'll be back tomorrow to wrap things up for the week. Everyone, enjoy opening day, and I will speak to you tomorrow.